This show is supported by generous listeners like you through our Patreon. This episode was underwritten by the Tamsin G Association and Chris Giddings. To learn more about ways to support Oh My Dollar and get cool perks like exclusive live streams and a fancy special icon on our forums, you can visit ohmydollar.com/support.
Fancy special icon. I like that. Welcome to Oh My Dollar, a personal finance show with a dash of glitter. Dealing with money can be scary and stressful, but here we give practical, friendly advice about money that helps you to tackle the financial overwhelm. Here's your host, Lillian Kerbake.
And that was your other host, Will Romey. All right, Will, today we're going to talk about things that you should splurge on.
Yeah.
So, you know, consumer investments, not investments like a house or stock portfolio, but things
gold,
that you buy as a long-term, or gold, or Bitcoin, if we're going to stay away from that.
Something concrete which will improve your life.
And it doesn't have to be a physical object, but just something that you invest in, which could be, you know, a gym membership or something like that. But just what should you splurge on and what you should get cheap and sort of some guiding principles that you can use. This is something that I often struggle with when I'm trying to figure out, like, one of the big things is that I've talked about this, I think, very briefly on the show, but I have been going back to figure skating, which was a thing that I did competitively when I was younger. And I'm obviously a bit older now than I was when I could lift my foot above my head at high speeds on frozen water. But it's an expensive sport. And I've been thinking about it from the terms of, like, is this splurge worth it, right? Because it's at this point, like, obviously I'm not going to go to the Olympics with figure skating.
Not with that attitude.
Yeah, if I went to the Olympics now in figure skating, I think I'd be the oldest woman to ever go to the Olympics in figure skating. I know.
I'm for it.
New goals. but it's an expensive sport, right? And so the question was, like, oh, is this worth it when, like, I could go work out at a gym for less than, you know, ice time costs?
Yeah.
Or, like, I can get a sparkle spandex costume without having to get one that I can wear figure skating. Like, you know, what am I getting out of it? And I also have noticed as I've gotten older, I've realized there's some things that for me make sense to invest in, like quality shoes. I've stopped buying cheap shoes because it used to be that I spent a lot more money on shoes, even though I was getting them at a lower cost per shoe, just because I'd have to replace them.
Oh, because you're going through so many shoes.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Exactly.
I have the same shoe issue. Anything you're in all the time seems like an essential. To buy the higher quality product.
Right. But then there's some other things that if you buy them cheap, they don't in any way impact the longevity of the product or your enjoyment of it. And there's some things you can just go without, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of this is like a socioeconomic thing where when you have a little more financial stability or more income coming in, you can kind of make the choice to invest in products, right? Because, like, there was definitely a point in my life when I definitely couldn't spend $160 on a pair of boots.
Right, when you buy the cheap boots because those are the ones you could buy.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually, Terry Pratchett, in the book Men in Arms, introduced the boots theory of socioeconomic unfairness, which I actually think is quite brilliant, which is, the reason that the rich were so rich, Vimes reasoned, was because they managed to spend less money. Take boots, for example. He earned $38 a month plus allowances. A really good pair of leather boots cost $50. But an affordable pair of boots, which were sort of okay for a season or two and then leaked like hell when the cardboard gave out, cost $10. These were the kind of boots Vimes had always bought and wore until the soles were so thin he could tell where he was in Ankh-Morpork on a foggy night by the feel of the cobbles. But the thing was that good boots lasted for years and years. A man who could afford $50 had a pair of boots that'd still be keeping his feet dry in 10 years' time, while the poor man could only afford cheap boots and would have spent $100 on boots in the same time and would still have wet feet. This was Captain Samuel Vine's boots theory of socioeconomic unfairness.
Yep, Terry Pratchett, right as always.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about this, and I posited this to the Oh My Dollar forums, shout out to the forums, and asked people, like, what their best investments have been, their consumer investments, what is worth splurging on. What do you have anything that stands out to you as, like, a splurge that was totally worth it?
Oh, well, I see this one coming up in the notes, but I'm going to jump on it anyways. I bought a nice cooking knife for my birthday, which was $110, which is definitely not the cheapest knife I could buy, but also not the most expensive knife I could buy by any means. There's really no upper limit there, but it's totally improved my cooking quality.
Yeah, it is amazing how much like less painful it is if you're chopping and cooking a lot to have a nice knife that's like fresh and easy to chop. Also like really poor quality knives are hard to keep in good shape, right? Mm-hmm. Because you often can only sharpen them a set number of times.
It makes cooking more fun if you've got a nice knife or just nice tools.
And if it makes cooking more fun, it might save you money over the long term, right? Yeah. Because you're going to eat out less.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to go out to dinner and I can chop stuff up with my cool knife.
How many fancy dinners would you be able to, you know, get?
Cut up?
Yeah, cut up versus, well, because like, you know.
I mean, it depends on how fancy. You could knock one out for that $110.
Exactly.
If you're really working at it.
For me, it's probably been my nice bicycle, which is like I have a fully custom bicycle, but I have a lot of joint and wrist pain, and I'm also really petite, so it's very hard to find stock bikes in my size that mm-hmm. can go long distances. Like a lot of them are like children's bicycles, and also most of them are kind of like road bike style where you have to lean down a lot, and I can't put weight on my hands. So I ride a incredibly upright bike, but it was custom fit to my size, and it's great. I mean, I'm able to go, you know, more than 100 miles in a day on this bike, and it's my main form of transportation. So it's, and I plan to have it for the rest of my life, right? Like I bought it with the intention that this was a lifetime bike as long as I took care of it.
Yeah. Well, I guess the more expensive things too, I often do a better job at taking care of. Having that investment in an object makes me want to take better care of it. Like I definitely got that knife sharpened more. You're talking about having that bike for life, so you probably do better maintenance than, you know, a throwaway bike.
Right, totally. And because you're kind of like more aware of the cost to it. So there's a couple different ways to figure out if something is worth splurging on. One thing is to look at the cost per use to you. So for something like a gym membership, someone on the forums was contemplating like, should I get a fancy gym membership? One thing you can do is you can just figure out how much you're going to pay per visit. So like a $50 a month gym membership, if you go twice a week, is going to be $625 a visit. And, you know, what's cool about that is you're able to figure out like, oh, if I'm actually going to use this more often because it's a higher quality splurge, like it's a gym mm-hmm. I enjoy going to more, or it's closer to my house, so I'm more likely to stop in versus on the other side of town, then you might be able to get that cost per use down more. For something like clothing, you can look at how often you're going to wear it. So something like a good winter coat might be really expensive, but if you're going to wear it for the next 5 seasons and you're also going to wear it for, you know, 90 days in a year, that mm-hmm. cost per wear is not going to be very high.
I guess versus buying a nice winter coat for a quick trip to the tundra or, yeah.
Right. Or buying a, buying a cheap coat that's going to fall apart in a season, right?
Yeah.
So like... a lot of those fast fashion stores will have coats that like the seams are falling apart and there's only mm-hmm. so much that you can handle on it. So and knives, like if you're going to cook more often because you have a nice knife, that's a great example. So then the second thing to look at is if you can get this cheaper, will it be comparable quality, longevity, or impact on your life? So for me, like one thing I've discovered is as I've realized that investing in quality things like shoes is better, something I've realized is tights are totally not worth me getting higher quality. I destroy my tights at the same rate, whether or not they're a $45 pair of tights or an $8 pair of tights.
Yep, tights are tights. No one makes tights for strength.
Well, and some do, but for me, it seems like I wear through them just as fast. Mm-hmm. Another example would be like, oh, maybe you are on the edge of sizing and you can't find pants at a standard store, right? You need to go to a store that only sells tall pants or whatever. Turns out wearing pants that don't fit is going to have like a significant negative impact on your life, right?
Yep. And also the pant longevity too. I feel like things that fit poorly kind of get stretched in weird places for me.
Yeah, totally. But there's another example of like cheaper cleaning products for a lot of people, like the difference between $10 window cleaner and $20 window cleaner. I don't know. Those are expensive either way, but like it cleans just as well. Right.
It's still bleach. Yeah.
Right. So think about if it will have the comparable quality or impact on your life. So could you get a stove? You could, you know, maybe you're thinking about getting an Instant Pot and you're like, because everybody has talked about how great it is. And you're like, oh, do I really want to spend $70 on a pressure cooker? But you realize that, like, yes, you could get a stove pressure cooker for cheap, but it won't make things as easy as an Instant Pot that you could just set up and ignore.
Having just bought a pressure cooker, though, you're not going to use your Instant Pot for canning things because you don't get enough pressure.
You can use your Instant Pot for canning.
Yeah, but it doesn't get up to 15. I did my homework on this one.
I think it depends on what kind of canning you're doing, too.
I'm really
right?
pleased with my stovetop pressure cooker. That's why I'm jumping in with the pressure cooker defense there. It was 64, which was a good deal, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, if you're going to be doing canning,
do your research.
Yeah.
I guess that's true with all of these.
Yeah.
Don't buy an expensive product without like really geeking out about it for a week first.
This is like, as someone who doesn't enjoy haul videos, or review videos,
haul videos,
like on YouTube. I don't enjoy them for their entertainment value, but they're so valuable when it comes to like seeing how other people have used products, you know, when you're researching an expensive purchase.
Yeah. Well, like the pressure cooker. I wasn't particularly into pressure cookers until I like started researching how to can stuff. And I was like, I need to make sure I got the right pressure cooker and feel like I really did my research and got the right pressure cooker.
I'm very excited for you. You're clearly very excited.
Yeah. My newfound passion for pressure cookers.
Yeah. For me, you know, because I eat tacos for breakfast every morning, I used to make all my beans every week on the stove and boil black beans over the side, you know, and like stain my stove and have to clean it every week.
For like 3 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. So that's like about how long it takes to make beans. And then I moved to like a slow cooker, which was great because I didn't have to like regularly watch it. In the same way. But then when we got the Instant Pot and I was able to pressure cook beans, I was like, oh my God, it literally has saved me like 5.5 hours of worrying about the slow cooker because I can make beans in 40 minutes now.
Yeah.
Right? Which it used to take like 6.5 hours.
And this is really drifting, but I've recently, in the past couple months, been like struck by how much better dry beans are than canned beans.
Yes.
Not that canned beans are like expensive by any means.
They really are compared to dry beans.
Compared to dry beans, they are, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's actually, and that's one of those things where it is very much a time versus money equation, because for me, like, beans save me a lot of money because I eat beans every day. So making them once a week in my pressure cooker from dry beans, I'm saving a lot over buying canned beans. I think I spend like around $1 a week on beans, and if I was buying them even in the cheap cans, I would be spending like $2.50 a week.
Yeah,
I've done the math before.
250% more.
Yeah, but it's a question of like, can you afford the time, and like, is owning a pressure cooker sped up that time for me a lot? But it was an investment that I made. It was a splurge that I did because I knew I was going to get a good frequency of use. I know I make beans every week, things like that. So,
and I'm just convinced that dried beans are tastier.
Oh, they taste so much better every time.
More texture
so
control.
I have an emergency can of beans for like situations where we've run out of beans or whatever, because
tacos
are non-negotiable. And every time I have to get canned beans, I'm like, oh, they're so much worse.
Yeah, less,
and they're fine, but they're just not as
less
good.
Toothsome,
because I can season them how I want to. They need so much more salt in them too to be able to can them at that like commercial quantity, that it's, you don't need as much salt to make them at home, which is nice for my blood
and other
pressure
beans.
Appreciates
chickpeas
that.
Have been another trend. Anyways, we're drifting.
I do love
dried beans. Could do a whole show on dried beans recipes. I made a good hummus yesterday.
We're really off track now.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
the pressure cooker kind of segues into another thing, which is time versus money. If you're thinking about splurging on something, does the cheap version of this or not having it cost you more in time? So, for example, like yoga memberships or something that are like, you know, it's $100 a month or something like that. You could work trade. You might be able to do a work trade where you come in and work like a couple hours a week and get a free membership, but that obviously sucks up more time. So, or you could save money on a gym membership by going to the faraway $10 gym instead of the one that's really close to your house that's $40 a month, but it has a longer commute. Like, is time versus money? You can break down your hourly cost, right? Mm-hmm. So you can break down like how much you're making. I did work trade for a yoga membership for like a year, and when I actually worked it out, I was making like $4 an hour, and I was like, okay, money is fungible. I can just work a couple more hours at my, you know, reasonably paid wage and just buy this yoga membership.
Yeah. Come out ahead. Yeah.
And so figuring out that time versus money is it going to save you so much time that the money is worth it in the end? And you know, we're going to have to talk about values because this is On My Dollar. Mm-hmm. But does it relate to one of your core values? So, you know, health being a core value. For me, whimsy is one of my core values, which is kind of ridiculous, but it's factored into one of my big splurges I'm about to do. Family, education. So something like a kid's school fees or piano lessons or something like that. That's a great example of something where you're like, oh, maybe this doesn't fit. Like, yes, is kick and run soccer really one of my core values? No, but my you know, kids' educational development is one of my core values, and I find that you know, being able to pay their soccer fees helps with
it's
their
worthwhile.
Educational core values.
Makes sense.
Fits with family or education or fitness, whatever it is. For me, whimsy is one of my core values, and I'm contemplating a very expensive hair transformation, and for me, you know, having pink hair helps, it contributes to my core value of whimsy.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Even though it's very expensive. So thinking about it in terms of how it relates to your core values, I think is a really helpful way to frame it, because, you know, having a slightly fancier car, if you don't really care about having a fancier car, it doesn't really matter.
Right, but unless you're like a race car driver where it's making you more money, or a car enthusiast where I guess you're happier.
Yeah, or if the difference between the cheapest version of the car and a slightly more expensive version of the car is a huge difference in safety for getting your family around, maybe that does relate to your core value. And so just have that discussion, because as we've talked about before, advertisers, salespeople, they love to prey on this idea where they wrap things up and disguise it as values, right? Mm-hmm. They'll tell you like, oh, if you don't get the fanciest car that is plays TVs for your kids to watch on the back and road trips, as we see in car commercials, then you're a bad parent.
Oh, you failed.
Right, exactly. And so just disentangling your own feelings of values from what you're kind of being fed, I think is very helpful. And then this is maybe kind of an obvious one, and it's similar to time versus money, but does it earn you more money?
Money versus money.
So for me, a faster laptop for work, I was getting incredibly slowed down by my laptop, which I have to do video editing and data processing on. And that laptop, I use it all the time. So not only is the cost per use really low, but it paid for itself much more quickly in my ability to complete work faster.
Yeah, definitely.
Better keyboard. Someone on the forums mentioned that they have a custom keyboard, and it made a huge difference to their productivity and comfort with work, which is a great example of something I never would think about.
Oh, keyboard people are
they deep. Are really intense. Keyboard people are super intense. That is like a subreddit if you need to lose some time. I never knew. This is one of those things that as I get older, I realize that there is the niche high quality version of everything. Right.
Yeah.
There is someone for which their like core values and interests is that thing. And
that
they're so excited
product.
To splurge
yeah.
on it. Right.
I love that stuff. not like keyboard specifically, but I love that people have these like arcane passions for
stuff. This is one of those things, though, where I think the internet does make it more dangerous when you're doing the research on something like splurges, because you'll start by being like, oh,
I could buy that.
I just need a pair of tights. And then you'll find the enthusiast forum where everybody buys $50 pairs of tights and they go for like limited edition.
Here's an essay on why your tights suck.
Right. Yeah. And you're like, headphones are a great example, right? Like, I'm not that much of an audio nerd despite working in radio. Mm-hmm. And a moderate quality headphone to me will not make the difference that it will make to an audiophile, right? Like, I don't need a $500 pair of headphones. I'm pretty happy with my $80 pair of headphones.
Oh, yeah. I find 80s the sweet spot. That's where we get the low range pro gear is always like going to be better than your like top of the line consumer gear, in my experience.
Yeah, right. And so that's an example of something where like your values are going to factor into it, but right. You have to kind of step back and be like, is this actually my core values? Mm-hmm, because like, mm-hmm. I really like nice skincare, but you know, if push comes to shove, I will give up my fancy skincare.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's very easy to get totally lost in those skincare forums and subreddits and everything and convince yourself you need all the products in the world.
Mm-hmm.
One of the skincare subreddits that I hang out on, because I do that, actually has this thing called Anti-Hull, which is every week they have people post what they didn't buy and also what things they've used up.
Oh, that's good. Okay, yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
I like the used up things too, showing that, you know, you used your stuff before you bought new ones.
Yeah, exactly. So other things that might earn you more money that might be a good thing. So for me, better lighting for video. Mm-hmm. Lighting equipment is kind of expensive, but good lighting in your videos is really important. So I work in video. It's important. So if you work in an industry where appearance matters, maybe you're a cocktail waitress or you are a, you know, news anchor or a YouTuber, whatever it might be, a better haircut, blowout or dye job or something like that, or even higher quality makeup as opposed to drugstore makeup, mm-hmm. but going to Sephora and getting expensive makeup, like those are the kind of things that could make you more money. You might be able to do the math that having that $40 foundation over the $10 foundation does actually make you that much
more
in tips.
Yeah, it makes the difference, yeah.
Right? So that's one of those things where like tracking in and tuning into it, you can really see what the splurges are worth it for you. Someone on the forums, L, pointed out, L has epilepsy and said, an Uber to and from work when I otherwise wouldn't go in is mm-hmm. like a really good investment and splurge on myself. And not only does that earn her more money, it's also just taking care of her health, which is one of her core values.
I feel like my very light version of that is buying coffee at the store when I'm out of coffee or running late.
Yeah. Yeah, just because caffeine is important. And
yeah, definitely. Definitely earns me more money. I would just be less useful.
Yeah, no, there's definitely like the slowness tax that I take if I don't get caffeine, right? That's also sometimes for me when I'm traveling, I will pay partially because I'm on per diem, but also like I will just pay to get food in my face faster so that mm-hmm. I can get on with the work rather than seeking out the cheapest option. Right.
Right? But like, just put calories in you real quick.
Yeah. If I can go to the hotel bar and get food in the morning, or if I can like walk to the grocery store that's like two blocks away and just get food quickly, as opposed to like seeking out the cheapest place to eat breakfast, mm-hmm. you know, it can make a huge difference. Here are some things that other people shared that said were worth the dollars. So shoes and quality bras were across the board endorsed as something that were worth the dollars. Also, comfortable and adaptive furniture. So either adaptive furniture for like working for people with disabilities. Our Daniel said, I have a button touch recliner,
cool.
which is apparently very helpful. Standing, like the variable height desks came up quite a lot.
I've heard a lot of great things about those. We got a pair in the new office upstairs that I haven't really played with.
I haven't seen the new office yet. And the old office was definitely not big enough for an adjustable desk.
Yeah. Oh, you should come check it out after.
And then other things were high quality bedding. A lot of people mm-hmm. brought up the idea that they're not necessarily on board with the idea that experiences versus things are always, because there's a lot of like, oh, you should spend money on experiences, not on objects, right? But they're like, oh, I spend a lot of time at home though, and I have a really nice table, and it brings me joy every day.
Around objects, yeah.
Exactly. I thought this was really interesting, which was Meowmalade on the forum said, I grew up with the belief that generics were practically as good as branded items, but it's not necessarily true. Branded items put a lot of work into being the best they can be. For example, Robitussin cough syrup is really effective when I get my yearly bronchitis, but the Walgreens generic cough syrup was just awful. It had the same cough-suppressing active ingredients, but the formulation wasn't soothing and it tasted bad. But I'll totally buy generics for pills. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
We'll have to do a blind taste test next episode.
Of cough syrup? tune in for that.
That would be a podcast. That's all right.
Other things that people brought up were not even necessarily really expensive things, but just things that were a little more expensive than the alternatives. Nice thermos was mm-hmm. a big one. I hemmed and hawed over getting a food thermos when I worked a job without a microwave. And, I spent like maybe $11 on it. But of course, I was like, oh, is this a waste? Am I going to use this? And it made so much difference because I never ate out because I had this food thermos. I always had warm food.
Insulated
at work.
Stuff is huge. I have a huge thermos beer growler kind of thing. And it's incredible because it doesn't take up any fridge space.
Ooh, yeah. So, you know, if fridge space is a hot commodity, yeah. If you live with a lot of people and you don't want to have to dig through every empty Earth Balance container that contains leftovers. No, it's out by life.
Or worse, Earth Balance.
Someone else in the forum said a really good loose leaf tea, which is not actually that much more per cup, but so much tastier. I do find that like good matcha is like a pleasant experience in a way where like the cheaper kind of matcha that's meant for like putting in smoothies or cooking food.
It's chalky and tastes green.
Yeah, it doesn't have as much. It's a little earthier. It doesn't have as much.
One of those things you can just like probably save yourself a lot of money by not knowing better.
Yeah.
Teas and coffees. If you like the cheap stuff, stick with it.
Right. Don't develop expensive habits version of saving money.
Yeah.
So certain art supplies was on the list. Wacom tablet and high quality paper for watercolors, things like that. Someone said a worth it investment was their cat.
Aw. Yeah, no one's saving money from having a cat.
Oh, yes, but they're so cute. My life is definitely improved by having a cat.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Also, I actually think I do save some money because I stay at home more often. Because I'm like, why would I leave and go to the bar? I can stay with my cat.
Yeah, that checks out. Okay. Cats as money-saving devices.
This is why cat owners are like introverts as opposed to extroverts like dog owners.
I saw my cat, who I always hang out with, walking home from the studio yesterday because I hadn't seen him all winter because he was probably avoiding the rain, but he's back. It was exciting.
Oh, yes. It is now the neighborhood cat season.
Exactly. He meowed a lot and I rubbed his head. It was good.
That was a very important update, Will. One of the last things, which I think is probably one of the most important things, is what I call the smile test, which is just, does it make you grin thinking about it? So a really nice table that makes you feel great every time you look at it and you have friends over, or a coat that makes you feel amazing every time, as Will can attest to. I have an incredibly extra winter coat, but I love it and I've had it for many seasons and I love wearing it, right?
Yeah.
So, or just even something as simple as like a lotion that delights you every time you use it, like it smells good or whatever, makes your skin feel soft.
Yeah, no, like that's definitely an area where it's worth splurging.
Sometimes it just has to come down to, does it make you feel good?
Yeah. Do you like it? Yeah.
So Christy on the forum said something that wasn't worth the dollars was booze. What makes the $40 tequila twice as good as the $20 tequila? I can't tell. I actually found that there was like, I don't drink anymore, but there was like a sweet spot in whiskey, which was like the $18 bottle versus the $13 bottle made a huge difference. But the $40 bottle wasn't really worth it to me.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like that spot also varies widely with boozes. Like
type
rum, I find you get the really high quality stuff like under 30, whereas like whiskey, I feel like or like scotch. You can't get anything that's like you want under like 100 or something crazy.
Which is why I enjoy, we have in Portland, we have this place called Multnomah Whiskey Library, and they will get you as little as 1/4 of a shot of different types of whiskey.
I actually haven't been there. I keep on meaning to one of these days.
It's definitely a fun visit. It's unlike everything else in Portland, there's like a huge waiting list to get in. Yeah. So you have to like show up and then wait, and it takes hours to get
in. You know what's not worth my time is waiting in lines.
Yeah. How un-Portland of you. I guess you don't go out for brunch very often.
I don't.
You're
that
usually
reason.
Working during brunch time, right, too?
But even on week, people in the city love lines, and I do not. I will almost always go for like the quick replacement option if a line shows up. If there's like some trendy ass taco joint, I will go to the food cart across the street. Or it's time is money.
Yeah. All right. So splurges are not worth
not
waiting
time.
In line. There's in San Francisco they like waiting in lines even more than Portland, but in the Castro there's this brunch place that always has a really long line, but they serve you mimosas and play techno music, and there's a dance party going on in the front while people wait for brunch, and it's essentially like you get to go to a morning club before brunch, and that's the only acceptable line.
Yeah, okay, that's
opinion.
Like a mitigated line.
All right, well, hopefully that helped you figure out what to splurge on versus get cheap. Once again, it kind of depends on what you want and need and what your values are. But there are some things across the board that people really agreed are worth the money, which was shoes and bras.
Yeah,
and
shoes,
knives.
Bras, beds, knives, boots. Oh, we said shoes.
So I think that's it.
Yeah, tell us what you splurged on. Tell us what you didn't splurge on.
Yeah, we love hearing from you. We love to hear what things you invest in and what things that you get cheap and you just don't notice the difference in. Email us your financial worries, successes, splurges at questions@ohmydollar.com and tweet us at anomalily or at ohmydollar.
Or come talk in the forums at
forum.ohmydollar.com. Yeah, please come talk in the forums. It's great. It's a really good community there.
Yes. I'm your producer, Will Romy. Our intro music is by Aaron Parecki, and your host and personal finance educator is Lillian Kerbake. Thanks for listening, and until next time, remember to manage your money so it doesn't manage you.